Welcome back to Through the Word and the Book of Proverbs, chapter 28 today. And joining me again are Peyton Jones and Ryan McCarter. Welcome back, gentlemen. Let's jump right in. Peyton, why don't you start us out with verse 6.
Proverbs 28:6. Better the poor whose walk is blameless than the rich whose ways are perverse. In most cultures, wealth is a desirable outcome. We see the wealthy as accomplished and successful. And if this is true, then wealth is the final goal in life. But this verse says, not so fast. Integrity is better. In some ways, it's harder to achieve than wealth, but integrity's free. By the way, wealth and integrity are not mutually exclusive. You don't always have to pick between them, but if you do, Proverbs says it's best to opt for integrity. Wealth is good, integrity is better. In a real-life situation, it might be a case where a company asks you to do or say something dishonest. Proverbs is saying, don't sacrifice your integrity for financial gain.
So good. A good name and an intact integrity is so much more valuable than whatever else you're trading it in for. All right, Ryan, what verse do you have for us?
We're going to be looking at Proverbs 28:13, which states, those who conceal their sins do not prosper, but those who confess and renounce them find mercy. You know, how can a beautiful flower grow if the soil is tainted? I used to go to these tulip fields in the state of Washington when I was growing up, and I was always amazed at the effort that was put into just the soil alone to cleanse it and prepare it and get it ready for spring. You know, if that soil was full of contaminants, those flowers could just never prosper. They wouldn't cover the entire hillsides. And the same is true in your heart. Concealing sin is burying it in your heart. It's poisoning your heart. Those who conceal their sins do not prosper. You know, sin all bottled up creates a ton of havoc, not to mention a ton of pressure. It's when we release it through that confession that amazing mercies are always found. It's tough, you know. We all have that feeling of guilt inside of us. But the beauty of the cross is that it absorbs that burden and frees our soul. Today, challenge yourself. Let's get honest. What are you holding on to? What sin is poisoning your soil? And who are you going to talk to let it go?
You know, there is a very powerful sense of freedom when you confess a sin and renounce it. It's like chains broken, like a heavy weight just let go. And notice there are two parts to letting it go, confess and renounce. That means admit it and stop it. And James says, confess your sins to each other, pray and be healed. That's where you find the burden fully removed. And I'm going to jump us over to verse 19. Those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies will have their fill of poverty. Now, this one's personal for me, and it really convicted me at a crucial point in my life when Through the Word was just a dream. Two simple options: work your land, get food, or chase dreams and fill up on poverty. So what do you think? Ryan, for as long as I've known you, you've been turning opportunity into business. So how do you know the difference between working the land and just chasing after fantasies?
Well, you know, the differentiator is in the word everybody overlooks, and it's that word work. Working the land isn't just about farming. It's about putting in the genuine effort. Let me say that again, the effort, right? Into our goals, be it in relationships, work, or personal projects, it's all about the effort. It's about the patience, the consistency, and reaping those rewards from that dedicated labor. You know, a farmer who cultivates his land, he sows the seeds, he waters, you know, he tends to them regularly over this period of time. You know what his reward is? It's the abundant harvest. There's no shortcuts in farming. On the flip side, chasing fantasies. It's that lure of the shortcut, that too good to be true scheme. It might sparkle, but it's fleeting, leaving us always empty-handed. You know, ask yourself, what would have happened if Jesus took a shortcut? That's a tough one. So a nugget to chew on today: in your own life's field, are you diligently sowing seeds or being sidetracked by shimmering mirages? Remember, true abundance comes from purposeful, grounded effort, and the difference is always found in the work.
Peyton, how about you? How do you apply this to ministry work?
I love the idea of hard work. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, work hard at whatever you do. And the Apostle Paul, who wore young men out and ate hirelings for breakfast, wrote, "We must not be idle." You'd have to be a hard worker, go-getter, an indefatigable missionary to keep up with the apostle. And to this end, Paul once said, "I worked harder than any of them." Think of that. Paul is saying, "I outworked them all." Similarly, John Wesley was a hard worker, and look at what God accomplished through him. Within 30 years of his ministry, 10% of the English population had been converted. He preached multiple times a day, rode thousands of miles on horseback every year, filled volumes with his writing, trained tons of circuit riders and leaders, started charitable institutions, catalyzed movements, and gave copiously to the poor. He's an inspiring figure, and I struggle with my inbox.
I think the key for me is the difference between dreamer and visionary. And the difference here in the verse is the land. Work the land. Clear, plow, plant, water, weed. It works in farming, in business, and in ministry. And speaking more of work, look at our next proverb in verse 20. A faithful person will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished. So there is a reward for faithfulness. Be true to your boss, to God, to your friends. Be faithful about your work, and you will find rich blessings. The contrast, though, one eager to get rich, also translated hasty for riches. But look at the contrast, one hasty for riches. Haste is when you want the prize without the work. Jump to the finish line, get discovered, get your big break without paying your dues. That kind of person is the opposite of faithful. There's no perseverance, no sticking to it. If it doesn't work fast, just give up. You don't care about people, you just care about money. And it says it will not go unpunished. So, Ryan, how do you see this one in the business world?
Well, you know, I've heard story after story after story about men who just mow over everything in life to gather those riches. And usually it's as quickly as possible. The outcome is always the same. No family, no friends, no faith, and all alone with just a bunch of stuff. But there is something wonderful about being faithful and working consistently and consistently hard over a period of time. You enjoy the tremendous blessings along the journey, and it's all about the journey. The blessing is never the money. That's just a byproduct. You know, when we are faithful to our employees, our bosses, God, and friends, we are richly blessed during the journey and even more so at the end.
Nice. And you also have our next verse, so let's skip ahead to verse 26.
Proverbs 28:26. Those who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. Ah, the age-old battle between ego and wisdom. Trusting solely in ourselves can lead us into a maze of confusion and missteps. But walking in wisdom, it's like having the ultimate GPS guiding us on a clear, safe path through life's winding roads. And with God as a service provider, you don't have to worry about not having that signal. You know, wisdom often comes from a lifelong blend of experience, from learning, learning from others, and yes, even those moments when we pause to seek Him. And speaking of Him, I would encourage you to seek Jesus and His Word first. When others' paths may let you down, that is really what keeping it safe is. So a question for you today. Where in your life might you be leaning a bit too much on your own understanding? And where could you invite in a little more wisdom? Remember, it's not about discarding self-trust, but balancing it with the timeless compass of wisdom.
Good stuff. And we got one more verse, our last one at 27. Peyton, what do you have?
Proverbs 28:27. Those who give to the poor will lack nothing, but those who close their eyes to them receive many curses. Over the years in ministry, I've found that if I go where the need is and not where the money is, God always seems to give us whatever the mission required. I remember a treasurer at Refuge Long Beach, a church that you and I planted, Chris. Our treasurer used to pull his hair out every month saying, "I don't know where this money's coming from or how it got here, but more comes out, it seems, than comes in, and yet we always have what we need." But I like the second part that says, but those who close their eyes to the poor receive many curses. It may not just be the curse of the poor who cry out, like James says, against your greed. It may actually be the curse of a lifestyle that's not generous. I found recently the more generous I am, the more it comes back to me. And that just seems to be a mystery of how life works. The more you give, the less you lack.
It reminds me of one of my old favorite sayings. There was an old man they said was mad. The more he gave, the more he had. And we'll close it out with that. Read Proverbs 28. Discuss it together. We'll meet you back here next time.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.